Blessed be the name of the Lord. Greetings to you all, dear brethren, and those who are joining us from overseas. God bless you all. Let's turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Let's pray. Our great God of heaven, our gracious heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Thank you, Lord, for the new beginning. Thank you, Lord, for being with us always. Thank you, Lord, for watching over all the time. Lord, we bless thy holy name. Lord, we are here because of thy grace and mercy. Lord, your mercy rewrote our lives. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the agape love because of which we are standing here in the presence of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the revelation that has been given to us, that separated us from the darkness, that opened our spiritual eyes to see who we are. The body of Christ, we are the body of Christ and we belong to you, O Lord. Lord, you laid the foundations of heavens and earth. You laid the foundations of oceans. You laid the foundations of teaching. And Lord, here we are, O Father. In the former rain, you soaked all of us in the teaching rain. Because, O Lord, the people can perish because of lack of knowledge and wisdom. But we are not perished. Because of thy grace and mercy, you opened our hearts. You gave us a new heart. You opened our eyes to see the blessedness against nakedness, O Lord. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we bless you because you are the Alpha and Omega. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I commit the entire sermon unto thy hands. In the mighty name of Jesus, I seal my lips in Jesus' name. I seal my heart. In Jesus' name, O Father, I stand here humbling myself, O Lord, as a son of God, as a child of God, as your bride. I surrender myself completely into thy word, O Father. Lord, help me, Lord, guide me and strengthen me. And Lord, as a congregation, the whole church, we are standing here as the saints of God because, O Father, you gave us the salvation, the love of salvation. You blessed us to experience what it is to like knowing Jesus in His Word, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the faith, the hope, the love that changed our lives forever. Lord, I commit every single second from now on into Thy hands. Take complete control and I ask in the mighty name of Jesus, O Father, soak the entire assembly in thy Holy Spirit so we may receive the words of life, that we may be pruned, we may bear more fruit to glorify your mighty name alone. In the mighty name of Jesus, we all pray. Amen. You may be all seated. God bless you all, dear brethren. For the past 1 week, by the grace of God, I was praying, meditating, how they can start this new chapter, because we are not here to dwell in the past. God is always moving. Amen. We have to grow every single day because we are very near in the last church age. And when I was praying, meditating, I thank the Lord, the deep burden and the thought that was instilled in my heart was to look back the foundation. Whenever the ship goes through a very strong storm, whenever we go through a very deep valley, the most important part that will get hit very hard is the foundation on which we are standing. Is the revelation, the understanding of true doctrine that has been given to us by the Holy Spirit through the servants of God, his apostles. So it is extremely important for us to have the deep understanding of who is Jesus, why we are here, and what is Godhead. We may think, I have learned this 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I have already gone through all the sermons, doctrines. But the foundation, if the foundation is shaken, it is not the foundation of the Lord will be shaken. It is our own foundation, our own understanding. God's foundation standeth for sure. Amen.
Amen.
So when I was studying, I was so blessed by the Lord's word. There are different foundations in the Bible. If you start from Genesis all the way to Revelation, the first one, God laid the foundations of heaven. God laid the foundations of earth. And God laid the foundations of mountains, oceans. There is a foundation for every single aspect that glorifies God's name. There is a foundation, including the ark of Noah. When Noah built the ark, the most important part of the ark is the bottom, on which everything is built upon. How about King Solomon? He built a temple, but the foundation, when he laid in the fourth year, people celebrated, because the foundation is everything. All the decorations, all the rich things that adds more value to it, it is nothing if there is no foundation. So then the more we look at it, from Old Testament all the way to Revelation, the word foundation becomes more and more spiritual. It translates from the literal foundation of heaven, the literal foundation of earth, the holy city New Jerusalem, the temple that Solomon built, Ark of Noah, and how the Lord led Moses. Then it translates through all the way to Revelation. Then who is the chief cornerstone of the foundation? Amen. Our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. He is our foundation of love. He is our foundation of salvation. But what's happening right now in the present age, where the corruption is going on, God's word is keep on being polluted, but we are also being perfected in the same age. God's word is double-edged sword. It cuts into life and death, isn't it? So in this last church age, where we are sitting in between the Jews repent and the last feast, the resurrection of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ and the descent of Holy Spirit, we are being perfected. At the same time, God is separating the weeds and tares so that he can be prepared for the harvest. So what is happening is, there is only one foundation. Amen? And there are foundations. The Bible says, if the foundations are shaken or destroyed, what foundations they are? Because the Bible says God's foundation cannot be shaken. God's foundation is standard for sure. Then what foundation they are? In Revelation, we also read God has 12 foundations from the apostles. So, by the grace of God, today we will meditate and study and ask the Lord to impute his knowledge, his wisdom, so that we won't be perished in the last church age. Because the more we know, the more foundations our mind will create. And those are not the foundations of the Lord. Amen. There is only one foundation, and there is only one revelation, and he is the way, he is the truth, and he is everything, and our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. In him, the fullness of God manifested. Amen. Now, when we talk about foundation, we will start from where everything started. And then why, that is, only then we will be able to understand what is the true purpose of the Lord laying foundation. When God created the Garden of Eden, he created Adam. He said, tend and keep it. I'm not going to just let you roam around. I'm giving you work. Do some work. Tend and keep the garden. And Adam was standing on the garden with a task in his hand he was supposed to carry out. So we are going to start from there, and we will prayerfully meditate God's word on three different stages: the foundation, the blessedness, and the nakedness. Amen. Few weeks before, by God's grace, we communed as friends in Christ to eat the spiritual food on blessed quietness. Blessed quietness. So let's take out the quiet from out. What is blessedness and what is nakedness? It all started from the first shameful incident that changed everything. The moment Eve was deceived, the moment Adam had to do something to protect his wife, the first thing that happened is their eyes were opened and they saw they were naked. But before that, they were not. So something happened there, and the Lord is going to close the loop with something else. Amen. So let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 to 25. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 to 25. I shall read. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he a woman, and he brought her in unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and man and his wife, and were not ashamed." They were naked, the man and wife, and were not ashamed, because they did not know what do you mean by shame, because they were blameless, they were spotless. They did not know what do you mean by shame. This is what we read in Genesis chapter 2, when the Lord created the man and the wife, the woman. They were naked, but they did not know that they were naked. According to them, this is the best creation the Lord created, and they were full of it. They were rejoicing in it. They had this fullness of peace and joy in their heart. Now, we know what happened, how the serpent deceived Eve, and we know all the deception and the sin committed. We are going to focus on the three important divine understandings today by the grace of God. So we will understand, what do you mean by nakedness? What do you mean by being naked? And how the Lord can help us to be clothed, because the original sin introduced nakedness. The original sin introduced shame. Amen. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 to 11. So let's see what happened in the Garden of Eden, and let's see what the Lord, how the Lord talked to them after this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 to 11. And when the woman saw that tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They were naked, but were not ashamed. That was the higher ground they were on. And now the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew. It's not that they doubt. It's not that they think. They knew for sure that they are naked. They are naked. So they had to do something to cover their nakedness. Why? They know the Lord will come and visit them. They know something happened to them. It's not going to please the Father. It's not going to please the Creator. The Creator can destroy them by His wrath or anger. So they were scared. So they had to do something. They covered themselves in thy own understanding. Find whatever they can find, fig leaves, and covered them. Amen? This is the first nakedness the Lord is teaching us from the chapter of Genesis. This is how everything starts. By the grace of God, we have learnt by the guidance of Holy Spirit through Brother Gunn's teaching the divine, the true doctrines. But the foundation will always be there. The moment our own understanding enters our mind, we will build our own foundation and we will be separated from God's foundation, because in Him there is no darkness. In Him there is no partiality. The foundation, the true understanding of who is God and the Godhead, the Word, Jesus Christ Himself, who was there from the beginning, who has been there, and who will be with us forever. The nakedness plays an important role for us to understand what we had and what we lost. Amen. From Genesis, the Bible taught us different nakedness the people of Israel had to deal with, and the laws introduced by Moses, by God's grace, to lead the people of Israel in the wilderness. Amen. And we know in Leviticus chapter, the Lord gave them instruction about uncovering the nakedness of someone. Father, sister, all the relationship in a family tree, the Lord gives them very strict warning that you shall not do this, you shall not do this. But if you do so, you will uncover the nakedness of someone. How can me or you or someone can uncover the nakedness of someone? And what happened with Noah and the sons and Noah's wife, the mother of the three sons? In Genesis chapter 9, we studied this. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of the father. And what happened after that? Noah cursed Ham. He cursed Ham. Let's just read how Noah cursed his son. Chapter 9, verse 20 to 27. I shall read from verse 25. Okay, I will read from verse 20. Please look at the verses prayerfully. Every single word the Lord wants us to learn, to reach, to grow higher and higher. Amen. And Noah began to be an husbandman. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. He was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. They saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Noah lived after the flood for 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Amen. So we started from being naked, uncovering the nakedness, and what happens when someone uncovers a nakedness, when the father curses his son. We are going to submit ourselves to God's word, surrender ourselves, so that the Holy Spirit can teach us, can make us stand firm on His foundation. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to hide our carnal eyes and open the veil so that we may see and we may perceive, we may receive. From now on, the word nakedness, I pray in Jesus' name, let's not think about the physical nakedness. Let's surrender ourselves to the Lord so the Lord can show things in more excellent way. Amen. It's not the physical nakedness that we are concerned. It's not the physical nakedness that we are scared of. There is much more a dangerous nakedness that can destroy our body and our soul and our spirit. Spiritual nakedness. The nakedness of the church. And how it happens. How it comes to us. When you stand on some other foundation, when your foundation is shaken, all that you learnt fall off. When you bring iniquities, when you bring abominations to the holy temple of the Lord, yourself, the spirit man, whatever we learnt by the grace of God, we will just forsake the foundation, and we may think, I know these doctrines. I know, I learned this. We may think all of that. But we may be standing on some other foundation, on someone's foundation, naked. When I say naked, spiritually naked, that we may have to do something to cover ourselves so that when the Lord come and knock the door, we are clothed and ready as a bride. Amen. So from this spiritual understanding, we shall read all the verses from now. Amen. Remember in Exodus chapter 28, verse 42. This is something very important for us to focus on before we move on to the rest. Exodus chapter 28, verse 42. By God's grace, we will study the Ark of Covenant. In the coming weeks, we will start a new series to dive deep into what the Lord wants us to learn from the Ark of Covenant, how He allowed the people of Israel to honor, to follow, and to maintain the discipline in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. But here, let's read this. Chapter 28, verse 42 says, and thou shalt make them Exodus chapter 28 verse 42. Yes. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. Amen. There was a reason why this was introduced. Remember? Because the Lord said, when you go to the altar, don't go up by the stairs, so that your nakedness will not be uncovered. When you go near to the altar. Because it's a holy place. Amen. So all this while, we talk about how the people of Israel needs to follow the laws and commandments from the Lord to keep themselves blameless, to keep themselves clean in the presence of the Lord. Amen. But as we move on from Exodus, all the way to Revelation, the word nakedness, it stays the same. But the time changes, and the Lord sending His teachings, understandings, so that we may be aware of what can take us away from His presence. What can make us feel shamed in His presence. The Lord blessed all of us with spiritual gifts, spiritual fruits, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, baptism in the mighty name of Jesus. Because we are standing here praising and worshipping the Lord in spirit, because the Lord is only focusing on our spirit man. The flesh and the body is just a carrier, so that we will complete this journey to be worthy of His calling and to perfect ourselves by fighting this flesh. Amen. So now we will just take a stop here and let's go back and study the foundation that the Lord wants us to stand upon. The foundation that the Lord wants all of us to stay within. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 second. Sorry, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. I will read from 18. Amen. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. Everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. And the perfection of saints is a process, is going on, and we shall depart from iniquity, because it will take you away from the foundation of God, because God's foundation is sure. It cannot be shaken. Nobody can do anything to the foundation of the Lord. It was laid by Himself. The moment we have this iniquity, it will separate us from God's people and make us stand on our own ground, which may look like the solid rock, but it is not the solid rock. Which may look like a foundation, but it is the foundations. Remember when we learned there is one faith, one baptism, one God, everything is one when it comes to Godhead. The foundation of our life, the foundation of our salvation, the foundation of this love letter is only one, Jesus Christ Himself. In the beginning, the Word, how the Word was with God. So, the Lord wants us to understand, do not think that my foundation will be shaken. But beware, your foundation can be shaken. He will shake your foundation. So that you will drop off the garments that doesn't belong to the Lord. You become naked before the Lord can clothe you. You cannot have your own clothes of flesh and understanding. We may think I am covered, but still I am naked in the eyes of the Lord. The only way to do is suppress the flesh, isolate the spirit man from the flesh, so that the Lord can see the spirit man alone, without any flesh, blameless, without any blemishness, no spot. When He sees that, then only we can clothe this Word, our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, because of whom we receive the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can clothe us to be the bride who is ready. Now we are getting ready. Amen. Now we are getting ready. The time is not yet there. We are getting ready. And it is not going to be over. Remember when Brother Gunn taught us, former rain, teaching rain. The knowledge and wisdom, not the worldly one, not the biblical knowledge, the knowledge and wisdom of God, which needs to be imputed in our hearts, our soul, our mind, so that we can cut, circumcise our spirit from the flesh, our heart, that we may be an acceptable bride for Him. Amen.
Amen.
So when it comes to this, if the foundation of God is laid and no one can touch it, no one can shake it, what are the foundations that will come into our life which will make us shame in front of the Lord? Amen. So let's go before the Lord and read Ezra chapter 3 verse 11 and 12. We thank the Lord for the praise and worship today. God bless you, dear brother Henry. And this verse is something that bless the praise and worship session that we had by the grace of God. Ezra chapter 3 verse 11 and 12. Let's read this very carefully. Ezra chapter 3. Chapter 3 verse 11 and 12. Yes, 11 and 12, correct. We read what happened when the foundation was laid and how the people celebrated it. Chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. From 10 I read. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good. Amen. For His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the Lord was laid. Amen. They praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Amen. But in Psalms we also read, when foundations are destroyed, what the righteous will do. And what is that foundation? Foundations. It's not foundation. It's foundations. The Lord used His mighty servants, apostles. The Bible says, the Lord built foundations with His apostles, so that people will be taught. People will receive the Holy Ghost, will receive the revelation, will receive the understanding of who is Jesus and why everything has been happening from the beginning and what's going to happen later. Because that understanding we cannot impute on ourselves. There is no way a man can understand God's word. Only the Holy Spirit can open the word for us. Amen. Amen. Psalms chapter 118 verse 22. When David said this, Psalms chapter 118, verse 22. Yes, 22. We read 22. We read, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. Amen. Let's reflect our lives now. We were lost because we did not know the truth, isn't it? All of us were in some other corners of the earth, spiritually understanding, believing something. But the Lord gathered all of us here right now, gathering as one God's family. Why? Because He made us understand what is this is, what is His word, what He wants us to know about ourselves and about Himself. And for that, the Lord appointed His apostles, His teachers, prophets, judges, kings. From the beginning until the end, God used different sets of time, different sets of people, and different way of speaking to people through miracles, through rebuking, punishment. All He has done so that we will be reaching the last church age where the end will come. So we are standing in the very end of the fulfillment of all the promises, the love letter that the Lord has given to us for all His saints. Amen. So now, the solid rock, the good foundation, the chief cornerstone, our Savior Jesus Christ, upon which everything has been built. Because we just read before we started the sermon, all things were created for Him, by Him, in Him. We bless His name because His name above all everything. His name is everything for us. He has given us His name because we accepted Him as our Savior. One of the main burdens that came to my heart, even including myself, when someone come and approach you, "Hi, what do you believe in?" The first thing, the most comfortable that we would say is, "I'm a Christian." Then the other person, let's say he's not a Christian, he will say, "Okay, good." Because even if you go and talk to all the denomination people, they will tell the same thing, "I'm a Christian." So how can he differentiate us or people, the true saints of God, who surrender themselves to God's word, and those who call themselves as Christians, but we do not know which Christ that they are following? There are a lot of Christians in the world. The more we look about ourselves, when someone asks us, "What do you believe in?" the true, meaningful answer rooted on the foundation is, "I am a follower of my Lord Savior, Jesus Christ." I make it very clear and make it very plain, transparent, so that nobody can make it blemish. Nobody can impute their own understanding about ourselves. Because the Bible says, "Be a witness to me. Do my works. Only then I can identify you as my own." Amen. Follower of our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. It's very clear. Then who is Jesus? This week, my prayer was on, "Lord, help us that our feet, rooted in Thy foundation, our feet, wherever we go, it preaches the gospel of peace." We can't do it if our feet is not firmly placed on the solid rock. Wherever we go, wherever our thoughts go, even if I call someone, if my words go, my feet also goes, because my understanding goes. The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 6, "Your feet shod and prepared to preach the gospel of peace." We cannot do that if our feet is not planted on a solid rock, if our feet is not standing on God's foundation. Amen. So now, I want us to focus on how the Lord separated us from lack of understanding and placed us on His divine understanding of who He is. Amen? Amen. So with the barrier between us and the Lord was lack of understanding. There was a big wall between our eyes and the Lord's kingdom in His word, not the literal kingdom. And that wall was broken into pieces when the truth was revealed to our eyes. The same way when Joshua was marching around Jericho and the walls of Jericho was destroyed, when it is done, they gained victory. Can someone destroy the walls of God? No. Can someone can shake the foundation of God? No. But the foundation of men? Yes. Can be destroyed into pieces. The foundation of walls built by men? Yes. Can be destroyed into pieces, where there was no trace at all. Amen. By God's grace, we thank the Lord for our apostle, Pastor Richard Gunn, our dear brother. His books, I was telling to my parents, my friends, how do you see these books comparing the Bible? I prayed about it. How should I position myself to understand how the Lord helped me to see my nakedness? When we don't have the truth, our eyes are blurred, cannot see. You read Genesis, but you don't know what is original sin. You read Revelation. Beast, a literal beast, that is how people preach. But the books, the tracks, after spending days and months of fasting, prayer, sincerity and love, prepared by God's servant, inspired by Holy Spirit, became the spectacle for us and the blood vision gone. We put the books, we put the words, we put all his hard work inspired by God's word. Then when he read, how it is possible? I couldn't sleep for 3 to 4 days when I learned original sin. I was beating myself. I was crying. How it is possible? I was running everywhere with Bible, preaching to gospel. I wrote a book when I was 16 years old, and I took a printout. I saved my pocket money, and I print the books in a A4 sheet. Was distributing everywhere, doing evangelizing. But why the Lord didn't teach me? Why the Lord did not tell me the basic fundamental truth? If I don't know the truth, how do I know my Savior? I felt very guilty. What did I do wrong to be lost in such a darkness? Amen. It is not wrong as long as you love God, as long as you obey God, as long as you humble yourself, because everything works together for good for those who love God. It doesn't stop there. And those who are called according to His purpose, not my purpose, not your purpose, not our purpose. His purpose. If there is a simple compromise there, we will be naked. If there is a small misunderstanding there, we will be naked. We cannot say, I have one leg on God's foundation, I have another leg on something higher. No, it doesn't work like that. The foundations of men will be broken, destroyed, as there was no trace of it. A foundation of God, no one can touch it. Amen. Now, with this understanding, God, by His grace and mercy, stop you, stop me, stop all of us as we are going down the drain of the paths of destruction. We were about to be perished. But the Lord gave His hand, pulled us out. Here is my grace, take it. But He won't give it, force it. He will say, take it. Here is my mercy, take it. And this is your servant, this is your teacher. Accept it. He won't say, you must do it. He would never say that. When God was watching over the Garden of Eden, when all things were going on, did He interrupt? He could have stopped Eve, He could have stopped Adam, but He did not interrupt. When David committed the sin, did He interrupt? No. God would not do anything against our willingness, and that is precisely why Isaiah chapter 1 says, if you are willing, because God cannot make you willing. If you do so, then the whole Bible becomes a question mark. If you are willing, that also says you and me are created in His image and in His likeness. God is honoring us. God is trusting us because I created you. I believe you can do it. I know you will get through. I know you will overcome. I know the storm is strong, but I know you will sail through because I am your Father and you belong to me. You have my qualities. You have my attributes. But the moment we lean on to the flesh, the attributes of man does not represent God. We can never justify our own actions saying, thus saith the Lord. Let's be very careful. Be scared and be very scared. Amen. Thus saith the Lord is not a word. It's not just a statement. It goes beyond that. The greatness of God, the Bible says, unsearchable. The light where the God dwells in is unapproachable. That's it. God's word is absolute. If God says, you want to see my full glory? Can you withstand it? You will die. I will die. The Bible says that. You cannot stand in my glory. I will give you grace. Sufficient for you. If I give you more, you will die. You can't face it. You can't take it. The sunlight is good for us, right? We receive vitamin D. It is every day, you know, we can take lesson from there. The more you go near, you will be burned to death. As long as you maintain a distance and take what you are given, you will live. We have breathing air. Every time we breathe, we actually praise the Lord. Breathe in, breathe out. If we say, I'm greedy, I want to breathe all the air in the earth, your lungs will explode, you will die. If you say, I'm very thirsty, I'm going to drink all the water in the ocean, you will die. Everything is there for us to see. His grace is abundant, but don't be jealous that I want all His grace. You will die. I will die. Bible says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And what is that grace? God gives us time so that our poor little mind, the stupidity, the filthiness, the carnality that is in us, will be pruned step by step by His servants, by His apostles, by His children, like the, how the Lord Potter shapes us, so that we may come into a stage whereby we are blameless. When we say we are blameless, Lord, I am ready, clothe me, O Father, in thy Holy Spirit, that I may be a virgin, a bride, who is ready to be a wife. Let's not forget what we learned. We are the bride to be the wife. There are two reigns, former reign and teaching reign, later reign. Later reign is a translation, Kuppa the secret, the Lord will make the bride to be ready as a wife. Then the marriage of the Lamb will happen. But what we are doing now, we are in the present interval between the seven feasts of Yahweh, four and the fifth, we are in the middle, before the Jews repent will come. Few months back, I was discussing with one of my brother in other country. He is someone who hates Jews because of their evil actions, because they don't understand God's word, they don't understand Jesus Christ. He just gets frustrated because he can understand. He was frustrated because the Lord taught him. He was telling, I want to see one day how the Jews repent. When he said that, I understand what you wanted to see. But do you know what you really just said that? If you really want to see the repentance of Jew, do you know the position of the timeline when it's going to happen? You don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. We don't want to be there. We want to be taken by the Lord. So that we'll go through former reign, later reign, and go and get married with our master. We are not living a life to see someone repent. We are not living a life to see someone comes into understanding. That is not your job. That is not my job. That is not anyone's job. The Lord has said, you are all in my mind. How can I introduce someone in my own mind? That is the foundations will be destroyed. That is the foundations will bring nakedness. Let's do not compromise God's word any way that might justify our heart to feel comfortable. That is not the foundation of the Lord. And that is what we will focus today, and we will continue by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 to 12. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 to 12, yes. Sorry, 19 to 22, I'm sorry. 19 to 22. Let's read this. Yes, 19 to 22. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 to 22, yes. Let's read this. We read, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God. Habitation of God. Let's read this very carefully. Through the Spirit. Habitation of God through the Spirit. Not through your understanding. Not through your flesh. Not through your gifts. Not through what you have. Through the Spirit. And what Spirit is there? Capital S represents Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. Not your Spirit. We are being perfected so that there is no us, there is no me, but it is only Christ in me, it's only Christ in us. And that is the perfection that won't stop until the Lord come and take us. There is no state in our life to say, I am perfect. No. The right word is, I am a follower of Jesus Christ who is perfecting me, and I am obeying him, and I am walking my journey. I do not know when I am perfected, but he knows. All I do is, I submit myself. Do you know why we do not know? Because the Bible says, God's greatness is unsearchable. He lives in unapproachable light. You do not know. Whatever you know is sufficient for you to save your soul. It's sufficient for us to serve him. God gave us exactly what we need. He did not overfeed his sheep. He feed exactly what he need. Amen. Amen. Now, if the Spirit, God's habitation through the Spirit, In Hebrews chapter 11:10, we read, "For he looked a city hath foundation whose builder and maker is God." And this is what we read about the faith of different prophets, faith of Abraham. Likewise, there are a lot of wonderful, powerful verses that talks about how the Lord shook the foundations of people, how the Lord shook the mountains, the foundation, to chasten his people, to make them to be tossed and thrown. Now, the Bible we just read, the Lord built the foundation through his apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. Now, let's understand how we came to the fellowship first. How we came into the truth. How the Lord used a glove and take us from the valley. Amen. Matthew chapter 16 verse 18. Matthew chapter 16 verse 18. Are you there? Amen. Let's read chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus says to who? Peter. He says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto the keys of the kingdom heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Amen. So the Lord wants us to understand he will use his people as a rock to build his church. But what we have is Saint Peter, Church of Saint Peter, Church of Saint Mary. People have taken on their own way. We have thousands of churches named on people, named on men. And even you could see the idol was much bigger than the idol that they created for the Lord. How the foundation was misplaced. How the foundation was misunderstood. It is very clear, the Lord says, "I will build my church," not your church, my church. Can anyone destroy God's church? No. But can anyone destroy man's church? Yes. So, we just read, Lord, build this foundation through his apostles and prophets, Jesus being the cornerstone. We only follow the ark. We only follow our Lord Savior Jesus. We do not follow the man, because God will use a man to build a wall, to build a temple, to build a foundation, then he taketh them. But what remains is his foundation. No one can destroy it. Amen. No one can shake it. No one can pollute it. Amen. So now, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 4 to 6, we revisit how this is confirmed again before we move on to the Revelation chapter. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 4 to 6, we read, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion as chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Amen. A lively stone, and a spiritual house, and we offer up to spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. No one can go to God without Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, he is the light, and he is everything to us. Amen. So we translated from physical nakedness, uncovering someone's nakedness, dress modestly so that when you go near to the altar, you won't be uncovering your nakedness. And we moved all the way to spiritual altar, spiritual house, not the normal physical cornerstone that Solomon laid, but a spiritual lively stone. The Bible clearly says lively stone, and you are lively stones, and we are God's building, and we are the fellow workers, which means God used us, the lively stones, to build His spiritual house, and we are working with Him. We are fellow workers of God. The Bible says, you are my God's building, but I also need you to build the building. I cannot use some angelic beings. I cannot use something that is not forged through fire, that is not forged through trial, that is not overcome the enemy, so that you will be worthy of my calling. Then I will present you my glorified body. Amen. The celestial. From when the first creation was naked, there is no word called nakedness. They were not ashamed. Nakedness is introduced when you think you are naked. Nakedness is introduced when you knew you are naked. The spiritual nakedness is always blurred by the eyes of deception that you are good. You are doing well. You know everything. You are standing on a higher ground. But God says, humility, sincerity, humbleness doesn't need higher ground. He will take us to the higher ground. And that higher ground is not a physical higher ground, my brethren. It is a spiritual higher ground where your faith stands taller than who are weak in faith. Where your obedience stands taller than who are still learning obedience through patience. Where your love for God and God's love, the level that you reach to understand it, the agape love, that spiritual level, it's growing. But the world cannot see it. The Bible says, if you belong to the Lord, the world cannot see you. If the world sees you, you have to think, why they are seeing me? Then I have some nakedness. Nakedness attracts nakedness. Amen?
Amen.
So now, before we understand the transformation of our earthly life to be ready as a wife for the Lord, to be blameless, we need to understand and recheck our foundation. Who is Jesus Christ to you and me? Everybody will say, He is my Savior. He is my Master. He is my Lord. He is my everything. He is the Son of God who gave His life to me. Everybody knows that. Who is Jesus Christ? And that Godhead is the foundation that standeth sure. The Alpha and Omega, for Him by whom all things were created, and everything that is happening, for who? For Him. We are sitting here listening to God's word, for who? For Him, not for our sake. He has given us His name. We belong to Him. When He said Jesus is the head of my church, the body of Christ where I'm part on, the head thinks, the head speaks, the head tells what to do, the head sees, the head sets the direction, and the body follows. Amen?
Yes.
So the head is the chief cornerstone. The head is the foundation on which we are standing. And let's revisit, by God's grace, to study again who is our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. I encourage the young brethren, Sister Anna, Brother Elijah, Brother Joshua, Adam, Hazel, when these doctrines were taught, maybe the young brethren was so young. So we are not teaching the doctrines, but we are edifying, refreshing, renewing our mind on what we learned to clean the dust from the platform where we are standing upon. Because our ship has just passed through a storm. There could be some hit. Rocks might have hit the ship. Do we check the sides? Do we check the front? We check the bottom. if there is any hole, or else we will be drowned in the ocean. Ocean represents the world. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 43 verse 13. Isaiah chapter 43 verse, let's read from verse 10 to, read from 10 to 14. Yes. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 10 to 13. Ye are my witness, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. The Lord says in Isaiah chapter 43, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and I have shewed when there was no strange God among you. There was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witness, saith the Lord, that I am God. He, before the day was, I am he, and there is none. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? I will work, and who shall let it? Who can stand against me? Nothing can stand against him. But we can stand against ourselves. We can kill ourselves. Because God will not stop. Because we have this power of life and death. In being willing and obedient, we always become refuse and rebellious. This says, I am the Savior, and there is no strange God among you. Stick to the foundation. I am your foundation. Always stand up on my word. Always stand up on the foundation that is sure, that is built from the beginning for you all. With this, let's read Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. We study this. 4 says, I will read from 3 to 5. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. The Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 6. Let's prayerfully read the foundation that has been given to us before we move on and explore what the Lord wants us to learn from the nakedness. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 6 says, yes. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Let's stay in the same chapter and read chapter 1 verse 9 to 11. Same book, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9 to 11. We read Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9 to 11. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. After the counsel of His own will. Not during, not before. After the counsel. After He counseled in His own will, everything come forth. Amen. Now, let's prayerfully ask the Lord, Lord, examine my heart as we read, as we study, as we meditate, because God is dwelling in the midst of us. We are gathering in His name. Amen. He is dwelling in the midst of us. The Holy Spirit is teaching us. The Holy Spirit is with us. We believe in Jesus' name. Now with this, let's go to this. I prepared something. Later after the service, I prepared this and I printed it for you all. It's on the table. After the sermon, you all can take and keep one in the Bible. As we go on, continue the series, you can take notes on it. So that there are two important aspects of foundation that we must be extremely strong in God's understanding. One is, who is Jesus? Two is, where we stand and what time we are living in. In the eternity, the God's divine plan, where we do stand. Amen. Okay. So, please play the video. 5 minutes is fine. I will focus on that. Just place the 5 minutes video. Let's remember in Leviticus chapter 23, we study about Feast of Yahweh. The whole New Testament, we understand the birth of Jesus, death of Jesus, resurrection, descension and ascension. So let's just prayerfully look at this, and as I explain, yeah, you can just play. So God is an eternal spirit, Elohim. Amen. So now, the eternal spirit, as we learnt by the grace of God from Brother Gan, I have summarized all the important foundation of teaching that has been given to us. It's not the detailed one, but let's learn and we will remember. God was counseling. He has been there. There is no time. He is in eternity. And the self-counseling, the word unexpressed, we were in God's mind. And when the Lord allowed things to happen, when He created heavens and earth, when He created all of us, when our Jesus Christ was given to us, when He was born, and when He was baptized, the world becomes. So that the Lord says, God says, I am pleased in Him, and the fullness dwells in Him. Amen. If you cannot read, please don't worry. I will give the printouts later so that you can keep it. So the most important thing is, the right in the heart of the mind of the eternal spirit is the monogene around which all things evolve. So we know when Jesus prayed to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, before He was crucified, He died, He descended into Sheol, and He resurrected, and the ascension is where the glorified Jesus Christ that we are currently studying, the importance of us presenting ourselves as a blameless, a bride for Him. Amen. So now the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read, He has all power given unto Him in heaven and earth, the glorified Christ. And now what is going on for us as we are going through perfection in the last church age, we stand in the present interval. The Word creates a predestinated Son of God who comes into the world by natural birth, bypassing His Word body. And now, by God's grace and mercy, we understood, we received the revelation of Jesus Christ, we accepted Him as our only Master, our Savior, our Lord, our Bridegroom, our everything. So as a bride, we are getting ready. The former rain, the teaching rain, preparing us to understand the true revelation of Jesus Christ, the knowledge and wisdom in His word, so that we may enter into the latter rhyme and we will be ready as a wife and the Lord will come and take us. This is our journey and this is the mark that we are pressing upon. Now, let's see where we stand. In Feast of Yahweh, remember Sabbath does not represent a day. The Bible says Sabbath is a person. Amen. The first feast is Passover, one day. In Old Testament, what we have? We have sprinkling the blood. Amen. And sprinkling the blood on the New Testament, we have the Lord's death, the blood of Jesus that washed all our sins and saved us from the paths of hell. And eating the Passover, it all happened in the first month. The unleavened bread for 7 days represents also the seven church ages, and it also represents the communion of saints in the New Testament, in the current church age. The first fruits is one day. In the Old Testament, it symbolizes the sheaf of first fruits, whereas in the New Testament, it represents the Lord's resurrection. He arose from the dead. He is risen. He is the living God. Amen. And because of that, Jesus said, I will go to the Father and I will send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, only by which you can clothe yourself and be prepared as a bride for me when I come back. And now, the Pentecost, the descent of Holy Spirit, shook the world. The apostles were anointed and they started preaching the gospel. And where we are now? We are in the present interval, which represents as 119 days. In Old Testament, it represents the scattering of Israel people. But for us, the Lord in heaven seated at the right hand of God. Amen. He is in the throne. He is seated at the right hand of God. So what's going to happen? In Old Testament, the trumpets represent blowing the trumpets. But in New Testament, we are waiting for the Jews return. But this is after the marriage of the Lamb. Let's don't forget where we stand right now. We don't want to see that. Amen. In atonement, one day, the blood of atonement, then Jews repent and dwelling in booths is actually tabernacles. And in New Testament, we have the age of regeneration. Between these phases, the Lord is the fullness of Gentiles is where we are being perfected in the present interval that stands in the middle. So the three white boxes is what going to happen and we are in the present interval as we are being perfected. So these two, you can stop it here. These two, let's thank the Lord. Let's do not forget His benefits. And this understanding laid the foundation for our salvation. If we do not understand, if we do not accept, we won't be here. God's word is absolute. Only those who seek willingly, only those who are obedient, the Holy Spirit will come and break the word for us. If we say, I know, Holy Spirit may say, if you know, then why do you need me? There is no way we can know this without the Holy Spirit's guidance. Because it doesn't belong to us. As simple as that. It was written by God, by the inspiration of Holy Spirit. It's not written by you and me. We submit. We tell the Lord, Lord, I am nothing. I am naked. The only thing that we can do is suppress our flesh in humility and sincerity so that we can let the Lord to do His work on us. If we resist Him, He cannot clothe us. Why? When there is a darkness, God's presence cannot be there. The Bible says He is light. In Him there is no darkness. So what He do? He send His apostles to lead, to guide, to prune, to teach, to show the love, to discipline, to chasten. Everything is agape love. True love rebukes. True love chastens. True love tells you are wrong. True love hugs you, comforts you, says I love you, but all are same love. God is in all. Amen. Amen. Can we say that the Lord sent the wrath on people of Israel so there is no love in Him? No. He sent the wrath because He loves them. He did not want all to be perished. He wanted to take the remnant. He knows who will be saved because the Bible says we were in His mind. It's not that He is waiting to put us in His mind.
These were in his mind even before the foundations were laid. We are created in him, for him. He is working in us according to his pleasure and his will. Amen. So now we just revisited the two important lessons, the truth that has been revealed to us. But by the grace of God, we will go in deep as the weeks comes by God's grace. Now, we know God is in his word in Christ Jesus. One line explanation of our faith without trembling, without any confusion. The foundation where we stand. Amen. God in his word in Christ Jesus. Everything was created for him. He is the Alpha and Omega, and we started the sermon with that verse that tells us he is the same yesterday, today and forever.
Amen.
Forever. Yesterday. Do you know what is yesterday? Is there anyone of us who can tell when the eternity past started? We do not know. We never know until we enter into his rest. Amen. Now, let's move on to the spiritual nakedness. We started from Genesis, the first nakedness that came into the humanity when the eyes were opened. What eyes were that? Remember in the Old Testament we read, when the Lord opened the veils, they saw the army of God. But before that they could not see. So what eyes were, what eyes they were, you know, holding, or what eyes they were trusting upon? When we are in flesh, we have flesh eyes that longeth for lust, that longeth for any wild thing, filthiness, carnality, that longeth for curiosity, that longeth for knowledge, to know that I know. That eyes doesn't belong to the Lord. He did not create with those eyes. Because remember, when Adam and Eve were created, they were naked, they had eyes, right? They were not blind. But why they did not feel ashamed? Because their eyes were not polluted or corrupted by their flesh. It was plain, blameless, pure, innocent in every bit. So they were naked, but they did not know, they did not feel ashamed. When the Father comes, they just rejoice with him. It is happening in our life. When you hold a newborn baby, the baby does not come out from the mother's womb with a dress. It's naked. But the baby is so beautiful, blameless. When we see, we don't feel anything because it is the purest form of creation. Naked. But what naked is there? We are marching towards blessedness. When we reach blessedness, we will be ready for the Lord to clothe us in his word by the Holy Spirit. We will be naked for the world, but we will be blessed in his sight. We will be holding on to blessedness in his sight. Only then the Lord will come and say, "Well done, my faithful servant. I am pleased in what you have done. Here, take it. Let's go." Amen. Let's see the translation of physical nakedness. It moves to the nakedness of the land. Do you remember the nakedness of Jerusalem? The nakedness of the land of Egypt? The nakedness moves from one person to two person to a group of people to a land, and finally we are reaching, waiting for the new holy city Jerusalem and being the spiritual sacrifice, the lively stones which are built upon the foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Let's read this. Lamentations chapter 1 verse 8. I shall share the verses later. We will only go through the important ones for our edification today. Amen. Lamentations chapter 1 verse 8 says, "Jerusalem hath grievously sinned, therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness." Because they have seen her nakedness. All that honored her despised her because they seen her nakedness. She sigheth and turneth backward. Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembereth not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction. For the enemy hath magnified himself. For the enemy hath magnified himself. In Revelation, how the enemy wants to call himself? Antichrist, right? Because he likes the word Christ. Christ means what? Anointed. When we say I'm a Christian, it's still not complete. Because the name above all names, the name before every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow, the name because of which we are all saved, the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, is the complete answer. Correct? Amen? And why people are very envy and very pride to say that they are Christians. Not all call themselves Christians or not Christians, because there are thousands of Christ in the world. Even a man nowadays calls himself as a Christ anointed. There is only one Christ, Jesus Christ himself. And that one cannot be just uttered by our lips. The Bible says, lively stones. How can a stone be of life? Yes, it is can. Because the chief cornerstone is life itself. Jesus Christ is the life. If Christ himself tells, I am the chief cornerstone, if you come and say, Lord, I don't want to be the stone, let me give me something better position. You are a stone, but not any stone, a lively stone. Because God is building us. God is building a new city, and he is the builder and he is the maker. Who are we? We go like how Nehemiah built a wall. How many days it took? 52 days. When Nehemiah built a wall, people were helping him, supporting him. The Bible says they were like-minded. They worked as one. Only because of that they were able to finish the task on time. But what time we have? The moment we lose grace, our time is gone. The day when the Lord says, enough, I have gained all my souls, I have gained my wheat, it's all ready for the barn to be harvested. I am coming. That's it. We will have to wait and see one more layer of trials, tribulation, Jews' repentance, white throne judgment. No, Lord, we are a bride. We are not the foolish virgins. Amen. And now, Jerusalem, Lord says, whoever honored you, now they will despise you because you are naked. What nakedness is that? Let's read Isaiah chapter 47, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 3. Amen. We read Isaiah 47, verse 3. Yes. I will read from verse 1 and to 4. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal, uncover thy locks, and make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Amen. Amen. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. You see how vulnerable, how dangerous, how poisonous, how shameful being naked in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord would not leave it at it, He will bring all secrets and He will unfold everything. The Bible says there is no secret in this world by any man can be hidden from the Lord, because He is everywhere. He is everywhere. He is all in all. He will uncover. He will bring it up. This is the nakedness of Babylon. She is also represented by woman. You and me, we are also represented by a woman, a bride. And who is our bridegroom? Our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. He will come and see the bride who is ready, not getting ready, who is ready to be able to go into the later rhyme, to translate, to be the wife. Then He will just take all of us and go home for the marriage of the Lamb. And what Lamb is that? Remember in Leviticus, Lamb without blemish, blameless, spotless. The food that we eat, unleavened bread, purest form of God's word. Anything else, it may look like a foundation, but not a foundation. It may look like a cloth, but it is complete nakedness. It may look that you are sure, but it is not the God's foundation that stands sureth. Amen. Now, let's read Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 21. Okay, let's read. I will read from 19, please. 19, I will read. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to shew them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Ye 40 years didst thou sustain them in wilderness. Let's read this very prayerfully, so that they lacked nothing. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. The Bible says they lacked nothing. And their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Amen. We say, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
They lacked nothing. God gave them everything. Spiritual manna, teaching. The farmer rain to prepare us. Because we are also in the wilderness, walking through the narrow path. The Lord is with us. We are following the ark of God. The Lord says, it's not going to be easy, but my yoke is easy. My burden is light. I am with you. Do not give someone to take your yoke. Do not let a man, do not let the world to hold on to your shoulder. Cut it. Circumcise your heart. Let me handle you. Let me direct you. Let me drive you forward. Give yourself to me. That is the willingness and obedience. We bow our heads, not physically, everything we have got spiritually, to tell the Lord, I am nothing without you. I am nothing without the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I am nothing without the truth that has been revealed to me. Not was revealed to me. Let's pay very close attention. Has been revealed to me. Because the truth is life. It cannot die. Truth is life. It cannot die. We cannot say 20 years ago, the Lord revealed the truth through some sermon, some books, through Brother Gann. It's not was. Has been. The truth has been there all the time. Beyond the time that we live in eternity. We were exposed to the living God, His living word, the truth. We have been in the truth. We have been walking in the truth. It's not just a grammatical of present, past tense, past perfect. It's present perfect tense. We are being perfected. It's going. We have been walking. We have been revealed to this truth. It is living. is life itself. The very reason for our existence is Himself. Amen. So with this, now we also need to remember one important thing just came to my heart. Whenever I look at the Bible like this, if you look at me like this in a two-dimensional format, you will see a V-shape, like a valley, right? Whenever God's servants, God's people walking on the top, and when the Lord pushed them into the valley, hey, I want you to become stronger. I'm going to make you wiser. You need some strength to see what's going to come. So Lord, tell us, go to the valley. So the Bible says there is a time for everything. Season of joy, season of suffering. Season of cry, season of smile. We have time for everything. So Lord, send His people, and He works according to His will and pleasure. When He sent us, we rolled down from the top of the mountain to the valley, and we are here. When we are here, God is still working in us. Amen. But the perfection that we are trying to attain by the grace of God, not by our own understanding, is the Lord is helping us, guiding us, molding us, strengthening us, forging us through fire, so that we can be separated from the flesh and He can take the spirit man to go up. The world may look that we are in the valley like this. Let's say, yeah, this is me. I'm just in the valley. The world will say, oh, Brother Prasi is deep down in the valley. But the Lord can perfect us where the body, flesh can suffer in the valley, but the spirit is keep on moving higher and higher. The spirit is climbing on the other side. The spirit is moving very close to the Lord to be perfected, because we are in the process of becoming the spiritual body of the bride. The glorious body, the celestial. The body, the flesh, will get hit. All the scars. So when Brother Gan was suffering in pain, his body, the flesh was reducing, right? He was losing weight. He was literally losing his flesh. He was literally with his bones and skin. He was literally living only in spirit. He didn't eat. He suffered everything like Jesus, because he's an apostle of God. The Bible says, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, I'll put you in a valley. Can you still praise me? Can you still rejoice in me? Can you still tell me, I thank you, Lord? You cannot say that if you cannot disconnect the spirit man from your body. We cannot do that. That is the perfection we are going through. That is the nakedness we are trying to avoid. That is the nakedness we are trying to tell the Lord, Lord, clothe me in spirit, so that I may die in flesh, I may burn to death. But the Bible says, whether we live or die, we are the Lord, because the death is not the true death. I was so blessed by Brother James Varamu sharing last Sunday. He is not dead. We are not going to die. Our body will have an expiry date. And that expiry date may seem as a valley to the people, but it's actually, we are on the higher ground. Now, when we are in the valley, the most important nakedness that the enemy will always throw into our mind is, whenever someone in the valley, let's always remember this. It could have been an unknown valley to you. Let's say Brother Zoyle is watching me, but I'm in the valley, but he did not know, because I'm hiding from you. I am on the other side. But if the Lord turns and show you that some brother, some sister struggling in the valley, deep down, do you know what is happening? Do you really know why the Lord is showing you? Do you really know what the Lord is doing? Why the Lord exposed the mistake of David to us? David committed a sin with Bathsheba. It could have been a secret, one to one. He did not do it in front of the whole city. But why the Lord exposed? Moses struck the rock. Why the Lord punished? Because water came out. People were satisfied. Peter made a mistake. Who rebuked Peter? Apostle Paul. But Apostle Paul was not a disciple of God, but he still rebuked him. From Old Testament all the way to New Testament, every single prophet of God, mighty men used by God, Solomon, David, even King Saul was anointed. He still made a mistake. Elijah was a prophet. He still was running for life. John the Baptist, the voice in the wilderness. The last time we checked, his head was beheaded. And he was offended before that. There was a woman behind all of that. Did you see that? The wife of the king as the head of John the Baptist. The wife of King Jezebel as the life of the prophet. And the Babylon is asking the life of us, the bride. She is not going to stay silent. The world, the principalities will force us to have some nakedness so that when the Lord comes, we will be the foolish virgins. The Lord will not take us. Whatever has been doing by the enemy from the Genesis, it is also being translated because he is very smart adapting to the situation. If it is physical, he will go physical. If it is spiritual, he will go spiritual. Because there are different spirits in the world. How we can differentiate? The only way is make sure the place where we stand is a holy place. The place where we are mounted is a solid rock. The doctrine, the understanding that we are given is from the Lord Savior Jesus Christ Himself through the Holy Spirit. The nakedness of seeing someone in the valley, me, you, everyone in this journey had to be extremely careful of. The Bible says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Yes. I want all the church members, including me, we humble ourselves. The moment the Lord uncovers someone's valley, be very careful. Be scared, be very scared in Jesus' name. Because the test is not for the one who is in the valley. It's for the one who is going to judge him, judge her, by looking at the valley. I will take it to a very important example now, by God's grace. When the people of Israel were waiting in front of the Red Sea was not open. I want all of us to assume that this is Red Sea. When the Lord opened the Red Sea, there was a narrow path for all his people of Israel to walk. Those who see in two-dimensional, they do not know there is a path because it is this way. But those who see like this, they will only see the valley. You will only see a V-shaped valley. When the children of God in the valley, God tells Moses, "Why are you crying to me? Move forward. I told you everything already. The word has been spoken. Just go and see the fulfillment." Amen? I was so blessed by that verse because Moses didn't say anything wrong. He just looked at the people of Israel, tell, "Don't worry, the Lord is our strength. He will fight all the enemies. Let's rejoice, be in silence." He was telling all of this and he turned back and the Lord said, "Why do you cry to me?" Then Moses was like, "I'm not crying, I'm just encouraging my brethren. Move forward. There is a time for everything. There is a time to speak, there is a time to be silent and just walk in the narrow path." Because I'll tell you why. By God's grace, when the people of Israel started walking in the dry path, the dry land, the sea was separated. Amen? Do you see God waited until he gathered his enemies? The army of Pharaoh was coming in chariots. But they cannot enter into the narrow path if they don't gather. Because they are scattered. Multitudes of soldiers, enemies coming to attack the people of Israel. God's word is double-edged sword. When the Lord opened the Red Sea, he did not open for Israel alone. He also opened it for the armies of Pharaoh. He also opened it for those who wanted to kill his children. He also opened it for those who wanted to shake the foundation. He also opened it for those who wanted to make his children to be naked. He waited. The Bible says, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 16-18, we read, "The Lord, our God, he waits because he is gracious." The same grace which is bound to time is also the same grace which will cut people into life and death. It is all same. He works in all in all. Whenever we see someone in the valley, do not look at them in the valley. Believe in Jesus' name. They are walking towards Christ because it is a narrow path. They are walking towards Christ. Do not see them from two-dimensional. See it from three-dimensional. And the third dimension is the spiritual dimension that we need to ask the Lord to open our eyes. When we do that, God did not want us to say, "Yes, now the Red Sea is open. All my enemies are going to come in and they are going to die." Yes. If he said that, There is no difference between someone who told me, I want to see the Jews to repent. You want to see? The Lord will say, let your word be fulfilled. You will miss the marriage of the Lamb. We don't want it. We are not living here to see the repentance of someone. We are not living here to see someone perishing. God is absolute. We cannot cheat God. He knows the deep intentions of our heart. He knows whether we seek life, whether we seek compassion, whether we look for the forgiveness of all the people who are chasing us, behind us, stabbing us in the back. God do not want us to judge them. Why? Are you the gardener? We are the branches of the grapevine. Know thyself. We thank the Lord for what was given to us. We are not the gardener. God himself, he prunes, he purges, he feeds, he sees growth, he waits for the fruits. He does everything in his own, according to his own pleasure and will. Pleasure, he is not doing it frustrating. He is rejoicing because he knows that everything will come to pass. Nobody can stop it. He knows the Red Sea will split. That is why he told Moses, I know, but don't waste your time. Move forward. I have a task to do. What is the task? I will save you and I will also perish those who try to kill you. I will save you and I will also teach you how to move on from here. Because the mark of Jesus, we cannot say, I have got it. We have to receive so many scars in our body to cut the flesh into pieces to be spiritually blameless to him. Especially when God's children are walking in the narrow path, when someone judging, criticizing one of us, could be even me, could be even you. Let's do not think that I want to do that. Every single words of evil that we speak against one another, behind their back, not in front of their face, is considered as filthiness. It's considered as abomination. The Bible says, you love each other in deed and in truth. And while we are walking in this narrow path, we are in the valley. Physically, we are in the valley. Spiritually, Lord will move us into the mountain, bring us into the valley, so that our spirit will get stronger and stronger. Because the Bible says, we need to grow and reach the fullness of Christ, attain the measure of the fullness of Christ. We can't do it alone. He knows how to feed us. Sometimes he will throw you into a wilderness and ask you to fast. I'm not going to give you any food. No sermons for you. No fellowship, no songs for you. Find me in the closet. Meet me in my office. Personal prayers, personal fasting, our intimate relationship is the only way we can say, I know Jesus, he knows me, because we are the bride and the bridegroom. The literal way of knowing someone, the Bible says, Adam knew Eve and they begot children. We are here to know Jesus, not the knowledge and wisdom. Every single thing that we learn here, it is to know Jesus, to understand who we are, who he is, what's going on, what is his narrow path, why the Red Sea is splintered, why the Lord is keeping us in the present interval, so that the fullness of Gentiles can be completed. He will take us for the marriage of the Lamb through the fivefold ministry, all the Moses, the fivefold ministry, they raise their hands and teach you, bless you. We receive it. We thank the Lord for Brother Gan in our life. We are not Ganesh. We are not following Brother Gan. We are so blessed to be blessed with such a sincere, a true servant of God who never ever owned us, who never told us to do what he wants. We are truly blessed. You will only realize it when you feel it in spirit. We remember him and we honor him. We thank the Lord for him in our life. But our journey doesn't stop there. God said, I used Peter as a rock and I built a church. Peter, oh, you're died, fine. I'll bring someone, I'll build the foundation. You're gone, okay. Wesley, Branham, oh, Brother Knife, Brother Andrew Feary, Brother Gant. God uses all his servants to bring the people back to his foundation. And all those foundations of men will be destroyed. Every single foundation that chases us, that chase behind us, it will also walk into the same narrow path. Assuming, I'm a Christian. I follow Bible. I have Bible. I know doctrine from Genesis to Revelation. I know everything. They will also be in the same narrow path. But God will say, time's up. When the last bride, the name that has been called upon, when they walk in the narrow path and climb up with Moses, when they cross the narrow sea, and they cross the narrow sea, Lord will say, your grace is over, then you don't need this anymore. You are with me. So now, we, as a body of Christ, as a church, we are walking in the narrow path. We are being perfected. Amen. Whatever the enemies, whatever the denominations, foundations, lack of understanding, our flesh, everything that is standing between us and the Lord is the army of Pharaoh. Everything that is standing between you and God's word is the army of Pharaoh. Push it behind. We tell the Lord, circumcise me from them. Circumcise me from my own flesh. Help me deny myself so that I can come before as a spirit man and I walk. I leave my flesh, destroy my flesh. I leave my flesh, destroy my flesh with along with all those which are against you. But I cannot prune anyone other than your own flesh. We are here as the owner of the body given to the Lord. We have every bit of responsibility to take care of our own branch. God has given you the authority to live your life as you live. That is the willingness and obedience of the branch. The branch can say, I will stand right. I will go down. You can say whatever you want. But when the Lord comes, he will say, I told you to look at 45 degree angle. Why you are 0 degree? I cut you off. So what the Lord says, you are a branch. You have your brain. You have your mind. You have your soul. But be obedient, be willing, because I will prune you. Don't be the one to be pruned. And how he prunes? He waits so that all the branch adjusts itself to be like a grapevine. And when he comes and see, he will see, my people of Israel, they are forward. Everything else, behind. But the world may think that we are lagging behind. The world may think we are left behind. True. Physically, in flesh, we are left behind. Spiritually, we are moving forward. We are pressing on and we are moving forward. When the Lord comes and says, my son, my daughter, well done. Climb up. I'm going to close an narrow sea. When he closes, whoever thinks, whoever are doing miracles in Jesus' name, whoever doing all the great things in the Lord's name, whoever are abominating the altar, polluting the bride, trying to pollute the bride, committing spiritual harlotry with the world, they will also say, I'm a Christian. But when they realize that Christ that they are worshipping is not the Jesus Christ, but something else, when they realize, the Lord will close. But we are not here to see them perishing. We have a task of evangelism. We have a task of spreading gospel. And we have a responsibility of moving forward. Whatever has been given to us. Because the Lord revealed to us so much. So we shall continue the series on this. And I want to close the sharing in two verses. Revelation chapter 9 verse 8. Revelation chapter 9 verse 8. Revelation chapter 9 verse 8. I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 19 verse 8. I'm sorry. Chapter 19 verse 8. Verse 8 says, unto her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Yes? Now let's keep this here. Let's go read Revelation chapter 3 verse 14 and 22. Chapter 3 verse 14 to 22. Where we are standing now? The seventh church age. In the present interval. Let's read this. We will close in 5 minutes. The church in Laodicea. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write. These things saith the Amen. These things saith the Amen. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. That the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Amen. We started in Genesis. We end in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 verse 21. Genesis chapter 3 verse 21. Unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. God was not happy with the way they clothed. Unto Adam, also unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. We are in the seventh church age. We had a great 40-year plus journey with one of the greatest apostles of this church age. We thank the Lord. But the truth is, he was carrying the yoke alone. He was carrying all our burdens alone. Our new chapter begins. We need to row the boat. We need to put our work silently on the table where people will eat the words of life. And God says, I will give you the clothes. Continue to press on. Beware of your nakedness, pride, ego, unforgivable heart. Everything that stands against us and God's holiness, it is our nakedness, spiritual nakedness. The Lord will clothe us. I was praying for myself, for the church, and for the leaders of the church, as the Lord Jesus taught us how to pray. Pray for yourself first. Make yourself blemish before you pray for others to be blameless. Pray for yourself to be humble before you pray for others. The revival starts within. I cannot say, Brother Zoyal, I want to learn love from you. I can only tell him, I love you, without even by telling a word. That is, pray for yourself. When I was praying, I felt very bad about myself for being a foolish virgin in the church for all these years. Could have carried the burden with Brother Gan. Didn't. 8 years I was just sleeping in the cave. I want to testify here before all the brethren. When I was in the valley, the Lord took me out with two gloves. One, Brother Rowley's testimony in Aposh, when he cried from the pulpit. The tears melted my heart. Brother Zoya's testimony from the pulpit. It made me realize my nakedness. I couldn't sleep that night. I cried. Who am I? What am I doing in the church? I didn't even know that my brothers had gone through such a deep pain. What I am doing? The Lord uncovered my nakedness through the testimonies of Brother Zoyal and Brother Rowley. I thank the Lord. Whoever thinks that there is no spiritual gifts in the church, let me tell you from the bottom of the heart. Sister Lucy, every time you come to church, perseverance, although she cannot walk, she has this pain. She comes and sits every single Sunday. Can you eat the fruit from her? Amen. Sister Eunice, you had a tragic accident in your life. Every Sunday you sit and come here to edify us. Without failing, we are blessed by you. Brother Raleigh, whose father was shot dead, and he went and told the person, "I forgive you." If we do not see Jesus Christ in one another, then there is something wrong, terribly wrong with us. There is something hiding our eyes. May the Lord tear down the veil and make us to see and give us the eyes. Whatever the nakedness that we have, may the Lord clothe us in His Spirit. We cannot clothe ourselves. We can only tell the Lord, "I am submitting, surrendering myself." So I pray that the Lord will unlock the spiritual gifts, the fruits upon this church. The Holy Spirit will open the heavens and soak our church. You know why? Because the sufferings of Brother Gan, do you think that he is a very simple man just to suffer moaning pain and just go on? I believe in Jesus' name, he used every single bit of his pain, prayed for us, prayed for the church, prayed for the ministers, prayed for the overseas brethren, whom he knows by name in Christ, whom he knows, who stabbed him in the back, who persecuted him, who cursed him. He was full of grace towards the end. The Lord completed his perfection in him. Amen. Now, amen. Let's read this verse and we are going to pray. And I ask all the brethren, if we believe, God will do great things in the midst of us. Amen?
Amen.
Before we pray, we believe. Then we pray. Amen? Amen. The Lord will shake us from our own foundation so that our own clothes will be dropped. Remember when Joseph dropped his garment and ran away from the Potiphar's wife, he didn't just drop his garment. He clothed himself in God's word and he ran away. But his flesh garment dropped. He saved his soul. Acts chapter 16 verse 26. Let's read this spiritually. This is something the Lord will do for us, if we believe. Amen.
Amen.
Chapter 16, verse 26, and we close. Yes, 26. Yeah. That's the correct verse. Chapter 16, verse 26, we read. This is when Paul and Silas are beaten in jail, right? The conversion of the prison keepers. Let's read this verse. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened. And everyone's bands were loosed. Amen?
Amen.
Whatever the foundation that we are clinging onto, other than the foundation of the revelation of Jesus Christ, it's a prison that holding you in our flesh. It's a prison that is not letting us to be free in our spirit. It is a prison that is totally different than the prisoners of Christ. Who can shake the foundation? The Lord. When He shakes the foundation, our bands will be loosened. Whatever the bands that had put all of us to be the lukewarm church, to be quiet, that doesn't mean that there is no gifts in us. God's word would never return in vain. Everything that was preached to us, it is here. It is in us. It is in our spirit. God wants us to rekindle. God says, "Come and stand in my presence. Humble yourself. Be obedient. I will shake your prison. I will break the doors. I will loosen your bands and you will come out and stand, go back to my own foundation."
Amen.
His foundation. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go before the Lord and pray. And I also ask our brethren, whoever comes early on Sundays, whoever has the willingness to pray for the church, you can gather together somewhere in the corner, pray for the praise, pray for the worship, pray for the sermon. And after the sermon, you can gather again, pray for the church, so that we seal everything happens here under God's authority, under His control, so that our lips utter every single word that glorifies His name. Amen. So with this assurance, let's go before the Lord and thank the Lord for everything and close the service. Amen. Let's go. Lord our God, the great God of heaven, whose greatness is unsearchable, who lives in the unapproachable light, who sits on the throne, who waits, who is gracious, who divides the Red Sea for the people to walk on the dry land where there seemed to be no way, the God who makes a way. Lord, your word is double-edged sword. It cuts into life and death. Lord, here we are, O Father. We surrender ourselves, we humble ourselves, cut us into flesh and spirit, O Lord, so that, O Lord, we understand you in spirit. We praise you and worship you and we receive your gospel in spirit because, O Lord, we are the true worshippers of God. Thank you, Lord, for calling all of us. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of truth. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all the spiritual gifts that have been sown as a seed in this garden, prophetic revelation, the church, by our apostle, Brother Gan. We thank you, Lord, for his life. We are not going to stop because this is God's church and no one can stop because this is your ministry, O Lord. Lord, the Bible says anything against God is an abomination and it shall not stand and it shall not come to pass. Whatever the walls of Jericho stands in front of us, in the mighty name of Jesus, we will break it just by praising and worshipping you, O Lord. We don't even have to say, O Lord, break it. We will just praise you and you will make a way, O Lord. Lord, you are the God of compassion. You are the God of love. You are the Father of Moses. You are the God who comforts. Lord, we are not here to correct one another. We are here to love one another. We are here to arm shoulders with one another, hold our hands and walk in this narrow path while praying for those who have not yet received the revelation, who have not yet understood the truth. Because, O Lord, we are the fellow workers of God and we are working with you and we want to work with you, O Lord. You are the stone of life, the chief cornerstone upon which the foundation is laid, and we are the lively stone. Help us to be lively in your word, O Lord. We do not want to be the stone. Breathe your life into the stones, O Father. Lord, our church has been silent and quiet for all these years. We thank you for that. But we don't want to be the same, O Lord. We would never be the same because there is a season. You always start a season and end a season and you begin a season because you are the God who never stops working. Amen. The God of Israel neither sleep or never slumber, O Lord. We don't want to sleep, O Father. We don't want to be the Laodicean church who are lukewarm. We want to have the wild fire in our hearts. We want to have the desire in our spirit to do anything and everything, to be ready to lose everything for you, O Lord. Because when we are ready to perish, and there is life. Lord, thank you for the foundation, our Lord Savior Jesus Christ in our life. Lord, we thank you for the teachings, the doctrines, the truth. Lord, help us to hold on to the foundation. Help us to hold on to the truth. And I pray in the name above all names, our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, may you, Lord, open the doors of heaven, O Father, and soak us in thy Holy Spirit, O Lord. Lord, when you shake the prison, when there was an earthquake, and I pray in Jesus' name, let there be a spiritual earthquake in our lives, O Father. Let there be a opening of the doors where our flesh can go out and the spirit remains. When Joseph called his brothers, the spirit men came forward and the flesh stood back. O Lord, help us to come forward to you, Jesus. Help us to come forward to you, Lord. Move forward, O Lord. We want to move forward. We want to finish the race that has been set before us. We do not want to have any filthiness, any carnality, any nakedness in our godly celestial body. But rather, O Lord, we want to be blameless. We want to be the wise virgin who wants to be the bride who is ready for the former rain. Thank you, Lord, for the teaching rain. Thank you, Lord, for you taught us through Brother Gant's ministry. You taught us through all the seven church ages, all the prophets. Thank you, Lord, for every season where you started pruning and purging us to be worthy of the calling. Because you want to clothe us. We don't want to clothe ourselves, O Lord. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. The same way the bands are loosened for those who are in the prison. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, O Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, O Father, Amen. Our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray and we believe our bands are loosened in the name of Jesus, O Father. Our bands are loosened and we are free in spirit and we are prisoners only in Christ, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, we believe we will see all the spiritual gifts, all the spiritual fruits will be working mightily to glorify God's name, O Lord. Help us to repent, because of which that is the only way for us to be able to clothe your word in thy spirit. We thank you for everything. We bless thy holy name. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you, my dear brethren. Amen. Shalom.